Hey everybody, I'm Marty Dodson, here with Clay Mills.
Yeah.
We're in the Songtown studio. Today we're going to talk about how to write songs so that people will listen.
You mean, I can hear the comments now. Rick Rubin said, when I write a song, I need to not be thinking about the audience. I need to just think about what's true for me. And I get that. But here's the thing. When you're writing, of course, when you got that burst of creativity, you aren't thinking about the audience. But there comes a point when you're editing that you do need to think about the audience. Yeah. Is this coming across the way I want it to come across?
Yeah.
Rick's a producer, not a writer. Remember
that. That's right. And that's true whether, if your audience is one person. So let's say you're trying to write a song for your spouse.
Yeah.
And you still want to think about how are they going to feel when they hear it? You know, so you're still thinking about that audience when you write.
And you're thinking about what you want to say to them. But yeah, I get it. When we get that burst of creativity, I like to keep that and go with my instincts and my gut and my intuition. What melody am I hearing? But then I like to step back after that initial process and just check in and make sure that things are landing the way I want them to land.
Absolutely.
Because I don't want to waste a potential good song. You know, when Rick Rubin is picking songs for an album, he goes, play me the stuff you got. And he can go, this one's got promise. Yeah, finish this one. Or I like this one. I don't like this one. But we're trying to make every song good, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't want to spend all day on something and then throw it away because it's not good when a little bit of tweaking and editing could actually turn it into something great.
Yeah.
So let's go to number one.
Number one on our list is honesty and emotional truth. You want your songs to be honest feeling and that they have emotional truth. So if you're writing about the anticipation of getting home to see someone you haven't seen in a long time, the listener should go, oh yeah, that's how I felt when I was missing so-and-so and I was heading back to see them.
Yes.
That connection point is emotional truth. You know, so if a listener hears something and they go, yes, I've been in that situation, that's how it feels, then you know you've checked that box.
Yeah, and I think just that believability, that's what we talk a lot about in songwriting. Is this believable? And starting with the truth always helps it come across more.
And that's number two on our list, authenticity and believability.
See what I did there?
I see. That was a segue. It's like smooth as butter.
Like I knew it was going to happen.
My friend Angelina Presley is a master at this. You listen to her songs and you go, she lived that.
Yeah.
You know, so she has a song called Knocked Up. And you listen to that song, whether or not, I don't know that if it's true or not.
Yeah.
But when you listen to it, you go, that had to be her.
Yeah, believe her.
Yeah. Travis Meadows has a song called The Davidson County Police. And Davidson County is Nashville.
Yeah.
And it's talking about how they know his name because he got arrested so many times. And when you hear the song, you go, I believe that guy.
I believe it.
So honesty, emotional truth, and then authenticity and believability. So number three is integrity.
Yeah.
If in your song, if you promise something in the verse, you need to deliver in the chorus.
Yes.
So, you know, you don't want to set up this big buildup. I always, when I'm teaching classes, I talk about it being like, if I tell my kids, we're going to do something amazing tomorrow, you know, go to bed early so we can get up early. And they get up and I say, we're going to do yard work. They're going to be like, wah, wah. You know, where they thought it was Disney World.
Right.
But we do that sometimes in our songs. Like we build this big thing up in the verse and then the chorus comes and we're like,
I know. I was mentoring someone yesterday and reading through the verse, they had me on the edge of my seat. I was like, wow, this is cool. And then it got to the chorus and I'm like, what's the song like even about? Like, I thought it was going one way and then now it's over here and there's no real title in the chorus. And I was like, oh, I just hate seeing potentially great songs die.
Yeah. Dying on the vine.
Yes.
Number four, and I think this one's interesting, but remembering to have love or generosity toward the listener. So, you know, remembering that there's a person out there listening to your song and they're going to feel something and you want to be gentle with that if it's a harsh message, mm-hmm. or you know, or you want to deliver it in an authentic way if it's a loving message, you know. But just to think about how is this how is my relationship with the listener going to be when they hear this song? And if you're not the artist, that can be hard to kind of get in your head and wrap your head around, because you're not the one up on the stage singing it to the people. But when you are the artist and you're singing something and you look out in a sea of people, you know, and you see their phones up in the air, you've done something to those people. You know, right. you've touched those people in a way that made them want to join you on this journey in the song. And as songwriters, that's something we need to think about, is how are we showing love or being generous to the audience?
Yeah, and I have always thought of songs as a conversation between the writer, the singer, and the audience. And so how you talk to that audience, how you treat that audience is going to be very important in how they, you know. And you said something else. Stephen King told me, strike that. I've never talked to Stephen King.
I was going to say, wow.
My buddy that? Stephen told me, no. Stephen King said one time that everybody, whether they're aware of it or not, has someone they're writing to, meaning maybe it's to please a parent, or maybe it's you're in high school and you're trying to win the love of this girl that you're writing. But everyone, he said, generally has in the back of their subconscious someone they're writing to. And I think a lot of times when we get songs in Songtown that aren't working, is they don't sound like you're writing to anyone. So we often suggest, be conscious of who you're writing this song to.
Yeah.
You know, if it is to just an audience, have them in your mind. You know, if it's to, you know, somebody that's passed away, you're writing to them. If it's to an ex-lover that did you wrong, you're writing. But keep the focus of who you're writing to, so that the audience, it comes across more clear to the audience.
Yeah. And a good example of this would be if I'm writing a song about a trailer park, people living in the trailer park, and I'm trashing that, that's not being generous toward my audience.
Yeah.
Because there's people out there that live in a trailer park. I lived in a trailer one time.
I grew up in a trailer park.
Yeah. So, you know.
So what are you doing, man? You're offending me.
Well.
Even saying trailer park offends me.
Well, see, if I write the song about me being in a trailer park, yeah. then I'm going to be writing it in a different way right. than if I'm just going, well, I don't live in one, so I'm going to trash.
There's people over there on the other side of the tracks in the trailer park.
Yeah, exactly. So that's an example of thinking about being generous and loving toward the audience, you know, even if they might be different than you. Artists are very sensitive to this, and in the fact of, like, if you have a big artist and the audience is going to think that they're millionaires. And so, you know, if they're talking about being out on their yacht, it's not being generous to the audience because they don't have a yacht,
yeah.
you know? So it's things like that, just considering how the song is going to play between the artist and the listener.
Perfect.
The next one is contrast. And I know you've got a lot to say about this. You teach a lot about this in your classes. So talk about contrast.
So contrast, I think pretty much anything in life is more effective when there's contrast. So they always say if you're running a political campaign, you need to contrast who you are with your opponent. If you're writing a song about you left and it crushed me, my whole world fell apart, but now I learned how strong I am. Now you've got this positive contrasting measure. I was nothing without you, but look how strong I am now. Or do you just write a song, yeah, you left and it crushed me and I didn't think I was ever going to get over you, and or I'm still miserable. Like, mm-hmm. that's not going to be a very fun song to listen to.
Right.
You know, not that you can't feel that way, but anytime you offer contrast, whether it's a song title, nobody in his right mind would have left her. Right, left. You have contrast.
That's actually left. Right.
I'm doing audience perspective.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I'll do it your way. Nobody in his right mind would have left her.
There we go.
Yeah. That's our perspective. But this is about the audience perspective.
Awesome.
The whole podcast.
Cool. and another way to think about contrast is tension and release.
Yes.
So you want to, a movie would be boring if there was no tension in the movie. There's exactly. always a problem that's trying to be resolved.
If it was a chase scene from the very beginning to the 2-hour chase scene that never let up and it was one speed all the way through. I know we've seen some movies like that, but,
yes, we have.
But they're not as effective as the ones that have the big climax. You know, they start out and they settle into the story, then they have a big climax towards the end. Those movies are more impactful on our souls.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last one is arc and dynamics. And I think about that this way. I think about it, I'm taking the listener on a journey.
Yes.
And the journey does not need to be static and flat. The journey needs to have highs and lows, melodically, emotionally, and all that kind of thing. So, just thinking about, okay, what's the arc or the dynamic of my song? Because a song that has a lot of that is going to be more interesting and more people are going to want to listen to it.
Yes. In my book, Shameless Plug, Mastering Melody Writing, mm-hmm. we have a whole chapter on arc. I teach pattern, repetition, and arc. And that's my whole premise for how you construct a great song. And arc is the last part of that. But I think of it as, for melody, the emotional melodic journey of that song. So maybe your verses are brought down, but they're more intense. You have a breathy vocal in that verse, and then it gets to the chorus, and it's big, and the singer's just wailing. But that emotional journey and emotional intensity map is very important to songs.
While you're mentioning books,
yes,
we have a new book
coming out
called Next Level Lyric Writing. Whenever it's available on Amazon, pre-sales really help. So
yes.
Pre-save it on Amazon. I wrote it with Bill O'Hanlon, but Next Level Lyric Writing, Advanced Lyric Techniques for Songwriters.
Yeah.
So hope you check it out.
Awesome.
Thanks for joining us.
Cheers.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.